Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office, so no update of the commodity markets today. However, we will bring you a special program, the presentation Gary Schnittke made at this year's Illinois Farm Economic Summit.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Thank you, Todd, and again, thank you for being here today. I'm going to pick up where Darrell left off and use those three 385 corn for 2016 and 890 soybeans for 2016, and use those in making projections for revenues and cost and incomes for 2016. Here's the summary, though. If we're looking at it, and we'll go through these points as we're going through my presentation, farm income will be down considerably in 2015, and 2016 likely will be a repeat of 2015. That presumes that we have near normal yields and prices are at those 385, 890 prices. If we don't see significant cost cuts. So if we don't see significant cost cuts, we'll see 2016 income near 2015, given the prices and near normal yields. That leads to the second point, that right now, non-land costs plus cash rents, so if you add up non-land costs and cash rents, they exceed gross revenue, and there is a need to cut cost, and we would estimate those costs of needing to be cut by about $100 per acre. Third point, many farmers are in a financial position where they could postpone that cost-cutting decision. Some aren't, but some are where they can postpone that cost-cutting decision, but in my opinion, they should not. And that is because of the fourth point, and that is the environment is different today than it has been 20 years ago. So those are the points that we're, as I make this presentation.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
First, beginning with the first point, farm income down in 2015 and 2016. And first, let me just go through and show yields here and prices. These two slides are from our revenue and cost. And if you focus on the 2014, 2015, and 2016 columns, you'll see the top one for corn, bottom one for soybeans. We are using for 2015 projections for Central Illinois 196 bushel corn yield, which would be near our trend yield.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today, so no update of the commodity markets. Instead, we're hearing Gary Schnittke's presentation from the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. It now continues.
Many in this audience may be having higher yields than that. It's hard for us to get a feel for that. USDA no longer provides projections other than a state yield. State yield near trend line, so we're using 196. That is down from last year when we had 231 bushels per acre in this state, or in Central Illinois, excuse me. 2014 price 375, we're using 365 for this year, and as you see going out in 2016, a near repeat 385, bit higher yield. And so we're looking at a little bit higher yields, a little bit higher prices actually in 2016 compared to 2015. Coming down to soybeans, we've obviously heard a tremendous yield of soybeans in central Illinois. We're using a 64 bushel projection now for 2015. Again, that may be higher, but that 64 bushel projection is because the state yield for Illinois is the same this year as last year. And moving on to 2016, we're lowering that yield, and again, using an 890 price. Those 365, 385 prices for corn are obviously below what they were in 2011, 2012, and 2013. Similarly for soybeans, 890 is below where we were in 2011, 2012, and 2013. Put those together, you're looking at less revenue, obviously, and then that leads to our income projections. And here is our income projections. Our first off, this slide shows actual incomes from 1996 through 2014. This is on FBFM grain farms. Just to give you a feel, in 2014, the average size is about 1,500 acres. They're spread around the state. About 20% of the land is owned in half share rent and half cash rent, and that varies across the state. Last year, 2014, average revenue on the, or excuse me, average net income was about $104,000 per farm. That was down from 2013 and obviously down from 2010, 2011, and 2012. 2010, 2011, and 2012, we had income on these farms averaging over $200,000. 2013, 124, 25, 2014, 104. We're projecting something in the $20,000 to $30,000 an acre range for 2015, which is down considerably from 2014. A couple of reasons for that: lower corn yields, lower soybean prices, and the bigger factor that you, is less marketing gain. If you look at 2014 income, a lot of the income on grain farms was due to 2013 production being put on the balance sheet at a lower price than it was sold for. This is, most of these are modified cost balance sheets. So that was a significant contributor to 2014 income. That it wasn't the case in 2015. $20,000 to $30,000, I can make that worse. That's assuming that there's some cost cuttings in there. I could make that better. And maybe for central Illinois, it will be better because yields may be above average. Having said that, if you have higher yields above average, we're building in a 2015 ARC payment that would go away. So there's some offset there. Perspective, that 2015 income is back in the 1998, 99, 2000, 2001 level of incomes. And again, if we're looking at 2016, we would be projecting roughly the same, given 385 corn price, 890 soybean price, average yields. And if we don't see cost cutting, that income would be at those levels. So we're essentially back to income levels that we experienced in 1998 through 2002, last time we saw low commodity prices. If you remember the 1998, 99, 2000 period, we had come off a period of low or high prices, 1995, coming down to a period of low prices. All right, where we're at on farms, we're having lower incomes, and particularly if we look at cash rent farmland, at average levels, we're at the point where revenue exceeds cost. All right, so, or excuse me, I got this backwards. Cost exceed revenue. This is the way it should be, I'm sorry, but it isn't that way this year. All right, so let me just do this. All right, since 2006, we've obviously had higher prices, and there's good reason to believe that the long run price is sort of in 450, let's say 450 corn. Maybe higher than that, might be lower than that. But now we're in a period of lower prices, 380s, 4-ish probably similar to where we were at in that 1998-99-2000 period. We had lower than our average prices then. In 1998-99-2000, we were below our 240 average. We're probably below that right now. If you're listening to Daryl, 4385 corn, 4216, maybe higher in 2017, who knows? Even said that, let's say we do get a bit more optimistic and get $4 corn, 4.15 corn, there is an offset now. ARC payments go away, both for 2015 and 2016, given the way the ARC payments are calculated. So we have that period of 470 corn, we're sort of maybe there. We had a period of exceptionally good prices. During that same period, we saw costs go up tremendously. And probably if we hadn't had those high $5 corn prices, we would have not seen these non-land costs go up as much as they did. 2006, again, just to give you a feel for this, 2006 for corn, non-line cost averaged $320 an acre. In 2013, they were $620 an acre. So we went up $300. And that would be seed, chemicals, fertilizer, drying storage, the direct cost, machinery cost, and overhead cost. So those went up, and they hit a high in 2013. They came down a bit in 2014, and we're projecting a little bit down in 2015. So, and what remains to be seen is what happens in 2016. So we had an increase in non-line cost, and it went up $300 an acre. We had obviously had revenue above cost in that 2008 through 2012 period, revenues come down, these costs have not. Add on top of it cash rents, and you have now a situation where costs exceed those revenues and cash rents. The bars here are operator and land returns. So this is revenue minus non-land cost. Blue is for corn, red is for soybeans. The green line is average cash rent. Again, you saw 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013 revenue, non-land cost, operator and land return exceeded that of cash rents, and cash rents generally increased during that period. 2014, we were below that. And again, 2014, many farmers probably did not feel as much pain as that would have been had there not been a marketing gain on the 2013 crop sold in 2014. 2015, we're significantly below that, and we're still projecting 2016 to be below that. Again, high prices came down, costs have not come down, and now we have to get to the point where our revenues our cost match our revenues. Again, here, just to give you a feel here, I have a 2015 and 2016 corn budget in here. 2015, 2016, $196 revenue or bushel yield for 2015, $365 price, 198 bushel yield for 2016, $385 price. Built-in ARC payments of $40 and $30, $40 for 2015, $30 for 2016. Again, if you take the price up to $4, think that would be helpful, that ARC payment goes away because of the way it's calculated. So maybe I'm under-optimistic on the corn price, but you raised up, ARC payments go away. By the way, this is a blend across the corn and soybean acres. Obviously, that 2015 $40 payment, you haven't received it yet. We don't even know it for certain. If you receive it, it will be received in the fall of 2016. All right, so we're looking at something under, for a near 200 bushel corn, something under 800 bushels of revenue. All right, so our costs have to be below $800 an acre if things average out. And I just listed our cost, and this would be for a cash rent for a piece of farmland with from high to low. Cash rent, fertilizer, seed, machinery depreciation, and pesticides in the red there. If you add up those four, that's over 80% of the cost. Nothing happens there, nothing happens to cost, right? I mean, you can reduce the 20%. It has to happen in that 80%. If you're looking at 2015, it's $124 negative. Cut $100 of cost, and you get close to where you need to be. Again, that has to happen in the cash rent, fertilizer, seed, machinery depreciation, and pesticide areas. So those are where the costs have to come from if you sort of want to get revenue above cost, with cost being the factor you're cutting. So if you're looking at that first area, machinery depreciation, that will be impacted by capital purchases on farms. Less, if we purchase less capital machinery, then that $68, we'll see machinery depreciation come out down over time. We have begun to see machinery depreciation come down. Again, from that 2001 through 2005 period, machinery capital purchases, or all capital purchases on Illinois grain farms, averaged close to $40. We hit a high in 2013 of close to $125 an acre. 2014, we were just below 100, so we began to come down. And 2015, hopefully that's in the $40 to $50 an acre range. If it isn't, we still have to see more cuts there. Again, if we're looking at revenues back in that 2000 to 2004 period, capital purchases probably should be in that same line. So from that 2013 high, to get back to that $40 to $50 an acre, you would have to see more than 50% cuts in machinery depreciation. And again, that would begin to erode machinery depreciation down. Fertilizer, we may see some reductions in fertilizer costs this coming year. We're beginning to see some reductions in fertilizer prices. I put here anhydrous ammonia, $6.64, $6.52, $6.53, the average for the first 3 months, or in 2015, what goes into 2016 production, that is down from 2014, 13, and average levels from 2008 through 2012. If you add up what those prices imply right now, it implies a fertilizer cost for a corn acre right at $130, $135 an acre, which is down from a high of 200 in 2013, still coming down, but it will help in those cost-cutting areas. By the way, if you ever write an article on where to cut costs, it's sort of like a circular firing squad. You can get a lot of comments really quickly about cost cuts. I feel I understand farmers' positions. Every time I say cost cuts, I get quite a few emails about that, by the way. Seed cost. I mean, and again, this is the one where we've seen increases in seed cost. It has been one of the items that have increased, and you can get, and it's probably the most sticky of all the cost. It'd be interesting in the future to see, you can maybe make an argument that genetic companies are beginning to have genetics that cause them to have rents just like farmland. We'll see if that turns out to be in the future. Any way you look at it, though, on non-line cost, and again, you have to look at machinery depreciation, fertilizer, seed, pesticides, it's going to come down to cutting cash rents. And how much of that cash rent you cut is a good question. Should it be, if you're looking at $100 worth of cuts, should it be 50-50? That's a good question. That's going to be our focus of our next question. The one thing that I would say, though, is that it does need to be reduced. Any way you look at the average level, given where we're at, price-wise, it would need to be reduced. There's quite a few farmers that are following a strategy of trying not to lose farmland and keeping cash rents at the levels that they're at. And being some farmers are being aggressive or bidding up cash rents. The one thing I would say is, and obviously, if we have $5 corn prices next year, this whole economic situation looks different. But one thing, if you're bidding cash rents with the strategy of not losing farmland, you know that it's higher than the you're going to generate a loss on that cash rent farmland. One thing that I would suggest doing is doing a budget and seeing if it works at 450 corn and 1050 soybeans. That's sort of our long run average. Probably not there in 2016, but if it doesn't work at 450 corn, then why are we holding on to it? I mean, because if you believe that 450 is the long run average, the cash rent sort of has to make sense at that level. All right, so I can paint a pretty dark picture as far as the expense side, but the one thing that you have to keep in mind is that many farmers are financially strong. So we've just come through what will likely be a golden age in agriculture, you know, that 2010, 2011, 2012, you put it back into the early 70s, 50s, 10s, it's one of those periods. Most farmers built strong financial positions. So we can postpone those decisions, but you're not going to be able to postpone those decisions forever. Here again, just making estimates, and this is, working capital is a takes into consideration differences. It's sort of a net figure. You take net returns from farmland, add off-farm income and some other things. We still come away from the average that owned land in 2015 will have a negative 11 for owned land, minus $171 for cash rent land, and minus $72 for share rent land. Obviously, those farms that have more cash rent land, this was at average cash rent, so you ratchet up the cash rent, those working capital losses become larger. So, but we're having these working capital losses, but if we look at where the position of the farmers are working capital-wise, we see a very strong position currently. Measure that, and working capital is cash, prepaid expenses, and grain inventories, minus pretty much operating notes and some couple other items. We've seen working capital positions increase since 2005. And actually, we could go through the whole balance sheet and it's increased. But in that 1996 through 2005 period, our current ratio was averaging something less than 1.77. We saw it increase, hit a high in 2012 of something over 2.7. And since then, we've been seeing it come down.
That's Gary Schnitke from the Illinois Farm Economic Summit.
It's National Bicarbonate of Soda Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1791, William Pollard of Philadelphia received a U.S. patent for spinning cotton by water power. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii. In 1851, Asa Griggs Candler was born. A wholesale druggist in 1887, he purchased the formula for Coca-Cola for $2,300. Candler devoted $50,000 a year to advertising, an unheard-of amount at the turn of the century. His goal was to make the drink a national product. He did this partially by bottling the product and not relying totally on fountain sales. Candler sold the company in 1919 for $25 million. In 1931, Sir John Hogden was born. A Welsh meteorologist, he brought attention to the buildup of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere and its result of global warming, now known as the greenhouse effect. His work led to the 1997 UN Conference on Climate Change that produced the Kyoto Protocol, a treaty among industrial nations to combat global warming. In 1982, a second full moon occurred during the month of December, what is called a blue moon. What made this one even more unusual was that it was also a total lunar eclipse in the U.S. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
We now wrap up Gary Schnupke's economic discussion of farm revenue for 2016 as taken from the Illinois Farm Economic Summit.
If your current ratio is less than 2, you've got no choice. You've got to make cost cuts now. If you're still above that, you can delay cost. But I would suggest that will not be a good strategy, because even if we do cut cost $100 now, go back to 450 corn, it's pretty much in line at that point in time. I mean, if we have 450 corn forever from now, we would still have to have some cost reductions happen. All right. Finally, all right. Why cutting costs now? I'm going to suggest to you that there also is a different environment that you're looking at now than you did in the 1990s, 2000s, up till about 2010 or so. And there's four factors to that, that just to consider, and why cost cutting now may be more important than it was at other times. Since 1980s, macro events have led to strengthening in financial positions, both interest rate wise and farmland price wise. Here's the well-known rates on 10-year treasuries. Started at a high in 1980s and have been coming down since. All right. If you made a questionable financing decision in any of that period, 2 years later you could go back, refinance it at a lower interest rate. That probably isn't going to happen going forward. We're in a stronger financial position than we were in 1998, but no one is talking about additional government payments. If anything, they're talking about cutting those government payments. So that 1998, 99, 2000, 2001 period, government payments were a significant and large part of income, and it really helped buffer what could have been a much worse situation. Right now, the ARC and crop insurance is what we got, and it's good, but don't expect more. So, summary here. Farm incomes will be down, probably. There's no probably about it. We'll be down in 2015, and if we see 385 corn into 2016, it will be a repeat unless there's significant cost increases. Cost now exceed gross revenue, and we do need to cut cost. Again, though, many farms are in very strong financial position. Incomes during that 2008 through 2012, 2013 period were used wisely to build a strong financial position so we can postpone it. Probably should not do that, and just a note that the environment is likely different today than it was 20 years ago. So some of the factors likely won't be there.
That's Gary Schnittke, U of I Ag Economist from the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. I'm Todd Gleason.